Amen. Yes, O Lord. Father, we come this morning. Even though we sing that song, You are all that I want. But it is You, O God, that needed us. Because without us, O God, You cannot find expression. Without us, O God, You cannot demonstrate You are the Creator. That You are the all-powerful God. You cannot prove, God, that You are the healer without us. And today we are grateful, O God, that You have, Lord, recognized and chosen us before the foundation of this world. And You bring us, Lord, into Your presence to teach us Your word. Lord, so that we could become better students, Lord. That we could learn and have the mind that You want us to have, Lord. That our thinking can be changed. We remember, Lord, those that are unwell, the names upon this paper. And those that are celebrating their birthdays and anniversaries. We ask for Your blessings upon them. And even as we would continue this morning, Father, we thank You for the families of God that have supported the work with the prayers, the presence, the tithing, the offerings, O God. And Lord, those that are involved in the missions and going out and proclaiming this truth. In remembering Your servant behind the sacred desk, we also think of the fivefold ministry. We ask, O God, that You just bless us and continue to anoint our hearts and our ears that we would come to recognize, Lord, the revelation that we are living under now. We appreciate You. We thank You. And ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. As we take our scripture reading this morning, brothers and sisters, I greet you in the name of our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's no better place that we can be than to be where the saints of God are. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. That if I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto me. O priest that despise my name, and you say, where have you despised thy name? May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. Father, we thank you once again for the word, that Lord, our hearts and our ears will be anointed. Bless us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. Amen. So we are still doing before the beginning, in the beginning. Amen. And after the beginning. And as we go into the Word of God, we are going to look at fatherhood. Amen. And so many a times that when we look at the Word of God, we often not realize that the message is so layered. And if you don't know what the prophet had in his mind and who Paul had in his mind, you will find out that you will preach another gospel and another Jesus. So, when we read about go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we are asked to baptize in the name. We are told to baptize in the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Although the church world today will take that name, take Matthew 28 and literally repeat the scripture, but they don't have what you call the revelation. So what we're going to do is to take, we're going to take the titles of Jehovah and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at that and ask ourselves, what did he have in his mind? What did Paul have in his mind? What did God have in his mind when you look at Matthew 28 and how you read Lord Jesus Christ? Because when you look at the Old Testament, there is no confusion about how many gods there are, because the Bible speaks of just one Lord. Amen. And so in the Old Testament, we hear that his name is Jehovah. But we find out that the prophet of God says that was not actually the name of Jehovah, because that was the title of the deity. Because you have Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, and so forth. And so we see that the God of the Old Testament was actually the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is now called the Fatherhood. And so when you're looking at the Fatherhood, we will break that down. And so when you're looking at Jesus, the name Jesus, because you know the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, we are learning now that name Jesus is the actual name of God. It's the human name of God. He hid that name from the time of or before creation. Amen. And so each of the titles and each of the dispensations is going to describe the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are so far, that we have looked at that. And so I think after a couple of services, we will take this to another level, you know. So you've got to all the time go back to the studies. Amen. All right. So okay, my slides are working today. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So what is happening in the church world? Everybody is going to church to speak about God. And everybody's talking about Jesus. They're singing about Jesus. They are witnessing about Jesus. But Paul is speaking about the subtlety that works behind the pulpit. Because in actual fact, people don't really search out many things that the pastor preaches. You see, because they're not really students, they just become listeners. And nobody is convinced that the pulpit can be used for deception, because they are expecting the man behind the pulpit to represent the word. But Paul is saying, he says that as the serpent beguiled the woman. Now, we must understand that the woman and the serpent was not strangers. And many times people think they were strangers. No. They were familiar with each other. And so when you're familiar with each other, it was not a session where it was just you went there for a few minutes. But there is a quote where the prophet says they lived as husband and wife. There was a process of seduction. There was a process where the anointing took over, that it caused a senses now to be overpowered, that causes her to now not to have understanding. Because when you look at the natural act of adultery, you find that a man or a woman that commits adultery really lacks understanding. They have no understanding of what the implications are to their marriage vows. Okay? And so we see that they come under a heavy delusion when relationships go pear-shaped. It's because one spouse is feeling neglected, and so the serpent comes along and raises the endorphin levels of this woman to make her feel appreciated. And by doing that, she dropped her guard, and it caused her now to lose consciousness of her responsibilities. That's the same thing that you see today behind the pulpit, is that if a man that's not called of God will elevate people to a point that they will lose consciousness, spiritual consciousness, and understanding of what really the Word of God is. So they come under what we call a seducing spirit, that they seem to be paralyzed, that they cannot see that they are under a seductive spirit, and say, well, but my pastor is a good man. He loves us. He loves the Lord. When I sit under him, I'm blessed, because it's the same way when a person gets into the way of adultery, they get in there because now if it's how they are felt. That's why I said this before, and I'll say it again: as young people, if you are not married, and if you made the mistake before, well, you got to, it's between you and God. We're not talking about that. But if you're young and you need to keep your purity, because it is like a drug. It's like a drug that when you step into the boundaries of marriage, what it does, it brings you, it gives you a sense of high. And that is why people take drugs. That's why people go into cigarettes and alcohol. And that's why you find today that the high that you are getting today are from your devices. The devices that you have, people get excited. I've got 1,000 followers, 1,000,000 followers. I'm standing before this car. It's a high. It's a false sense. But they not understanding it's the influence of the underworld that is causing them to lose consciousness of who they really should be and who they really should be like. So that is why, as young people, you'd find that we tell you that who giveth this woman to this man, it only ends at the altar. And no matter how much he tells you that he loves you, young lady, don't believe him. Sometimes they come up with a whole funny things, but you prove that you love me and prove that you care for me. Well, you need to tell him, but I love you so much, that's why I need to walk away from you. Because I'm keeping that for that special day, not today. Not when you're feeling you want to get into a high. But when you start tampering with those things, it's dangerous. The same thing even when you're married as well, and you get this rush that you want to, because you feel neglected in your marriage, and you suddenly want to go out there, and this woman compliments you on your tie, and you buy 100 ties, and you keep walking around there. It's a sense of high that causes you to lose consciousness of your responsibility. And Paul is saying, he says, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And for he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul is speaking about that there will come a time that somebody is going to preach another Jesus. They're going to preach another gospel. So when we are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we are talking about Jesus Christ, and when we are worshiping, we are preaching Jesus the Father, not Jesus the Son. So we want to make a distinction about that, because you'd find that everybody speaks about Jesus, but the ministry must bring clarity and distinction about Jesus. And that's where the message community is misleading so many. I know this is going to go, I don't know where my recording will go, but I'm responsible for what I say. I'm responsible for what I say. And if I don't be clear about it, you see, I can avoid this doctrine. I don't have to preach these things under the seventh seal and seven thunders and so forth. I don't have to do that. And we'll still have a bigger crowd. But you see, this type of ministry thins down. It's not really acceptable and palatable. So when we are talking about Jesus the Father, we are talking about the Son of Man, which is God in the form of a prophet. There's a big difference. Because when you talk to people today, even to people that go and they know about the gospel or know about the message, they say, no, my pastor preached about Jesus. But they don't define it. The definition and the distinction of Jesus the Father and Jesus the Son is huge, as you will see today. So when we are talking about Jesus the Son, we are actually saying that the ministry that was in the Son is going to be reproduced one more time through a prophet in the end time. That is why, if you read your Bible, that God will give you understanding by His Son. It's not only referring to the Son that was on the road to Galilee. It is speaking about Brother Branham. It is speaking about the apostolic ministry. Speaking about the pastoral, the teaching ministry. Those are sons of God. I will do a subject on showing you how that even the prophet of God used the Son of God, and He will leave you in the wilderness. That's why you see the subtlety behind the pulpit in the last days are going to get much more vicious. So our preaching is about, and an emphasis is about preaching about the Almighty God, who is Jesus, who is the Father. Okay? And who, as we know, was Jehovah of the old. You see, we could not have preached that if clarity came to us who the Son is. Once you understand who the Son is and His limitations, you begin to understand there's a distinction of the Father. Amen? And because you might say, but where do you get that? In the church ages, Brother Branham uses the word exegesis. He came to thoroughly explain and make clear who God is, who the Father is. He says He never came to speak about Himself, but He brought a clarity of who God is and who, what was His role. Amen? So, when you go to Ephesians 1:13, the Bible says, in whom He also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance, until the redemption of your purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Now, when you read that scripture, we find that there is a distinction, because you are going to see something that the message or the way God has laid it was according to season. So before the opening of the seventh seal and before the seven thunders, you will find that it was acceptable to preach about Jesus Christ without much clarity. Amen? And so this scripture of Ephesians 1:13 is telling you they will get the earnest of the salvation or of inheritance after they hear the word of truth. So from the time of the apostles until the fourth seal, okay, until the fourth seal, the church world, message community was preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if they preached that, they were promised the earnest of our inheritance. That means if they believed on the Son of God, they would get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of their salvation. So this earnest was given to them from the time of the apostles up until the fourth seal. So that means the church ages. But there's going to come a junction of time when that becomes another gospel. Because there is a gospel under the seventh seal, and there is a gospel under the fourth seal. But the distinction of it can only come if a minister knows the seventh seal and he can bring a comparison. Because there is a fine edge that if it's not brought out clearly, you will never know whether they believe your gospel. They will use the same quotes. They will use the same scriptures. And you'll ask the question, but how come? How is that possible? It's because from the time of the apostles until the fourth seal, it was acceptable. It was acceptable. So, but preaching the Son of Man or the preaching of God the Father, a deity revealed in this day, is preached in the day of redemption, which is our day. You'll notice that people will tell you that I am doing mission work. I am doing evangelism. But their evangelism is around Calvary. Their evangelism is about what God, what happened and how the blood was shed. That's a fourth seal gospel. It can only take you to a portion of time. Okay? So in the day of redemption, it is not the Son that is present. In the day of redemption, it's the Father that is present. There's a big difference. There's a lot of things that I will go in and come out very quickly, because a lot of these subjects I've done over the years, so I can't go back to it. Okay, so what you'll pick it up on the network. All right. So there must be a distinction of the gospel that we preach and the Godhead must be included in the understanding between the gospel under the fourth seal and the gospel of the seventh seal. There's a big difference. And you see, if you speak to anybody, they say, no, but we believe Jesus is the Son of God. Speak to any message person. They'll tell you, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. And you're going to get kind of confused and say, but Brother Louis, you said they don't believe like us. Yeah, you must watch the fine line today. And that's where you got to learn. If you want to witness to people, I would recommend you go back to these series and study them. The ones I've done, I think from series 7 onwards, go and study it if you really want to witness to people. So the evidence of eternal life is that we preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you'd find that many people will get eternal life on that side. I told you that. But what is the knife edge? What is the difference? Is that they will be outside the city. Okay? Whilst the bride will be within the city. You know that you don't have to be a Christian to be in heaven. You know that, eh? You can get eternal life because the way they treated you, because they gave you a cup of water, because you was a good doctor, a good help to society. That's what the message tells us. All right. All right. So we spoke about the preaching of the Son of Man with the preaching of God the Father is revealed in our day. Amen. It's a day of redemption. Why? The Father is present. And so the clarity that's important is that everybody claims to be born again. You'll find that even those that preach the fourth seal claim to be born again. You claim to be born again. Denominations claim to be born again. They speak about, I've got a BA degree. You ask them, what's a BA? They say, I've been born again. And somebody say, I've got an MA degree. So what's that? I've got miraculously altered. They also believe that. Okay? They also believe that. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So we could have, so this gospel under the seventh seal is going to prove that we as the elect will be part of the rapture. Okay. So rapturing faith, you hear people speak about rapturing faith. Rapturing faith is not about preaching Jesus, the Son of God. A lot of times people speak about rapturing faith. This is not about preaching the Son of God. Rapturing faith is the preaching of the unveiling of God that comes, that lived in the pillar of fire, the unveiling of God that lived in His Son, the unveiling of God that came to anoint His prophet, the unveiling of God in His Word, in His nature, in the Son of Man. That gives you rapturing faith, and you'll find that it causes your heart to prepare for the rapture. It's not the same old things. It's always, you'd find that it creates a desire that you look forward to the rapture. And that is why you find today is that there's so many people are so disappointed with the message of Brother Branham that it's because, and they are leaving, is because they are hearing to the same old, okay? And I hear from here amongst the congregation that some of you don't want to even take your children to the car if they want sandwiches, because when you come back, you don't know what's happening because the service is so fast. Well, that's what it is all about under the seventh seal, ever unfolding, okay? So, we're preaching not the Son. And we'll bring out some statements today. We're not preaching the Son. We're preaching the Father who comes down in the day of redemption. Amen. And we are preaching it from under the seventh seal. We don't preach it under the fourth seal. You know, so the seventh seal, I told you, is a threefold mystery. It's shout, voice, and trump. So under the shout, you will read in Revelation 8, and there was silence in heaven, and the prophet of God says there was no symbol and nothing moved, is because there was not even worship, because there was nobody in heaven to worship, because He comes down with the book in Revelation 10. So Revelation 8 and Revelation 10 And 2 Thessalonians 4:16 is the seventh seal. So, whilst the world is wondering what is the seventh seal, they cannot see that there is not Jesus the Son coming down, it is now Jesus the Father that's coming down. And I'll support that today. Okay? So, that is why we spend years to speak about God. Understanding Godhead. Understanding the Son. Because if your Godhead is wrong, you will not know what to do. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Because the only Lord you're thinking about is Jesus, the Son, the man. That's all you're thinking about. Okay, and I did teach you this, is that if he comes down, it's over. Mercy is over. There's no intercession. So the message community are in a betwixt. They don't know what to do with it. Okay? They would use cliches about mighty angel, third pull, seventh seal, seven thunders, and everybody goes, yeah, yeah. That's all they can do, yeah. But after a couple of years, that yeah, we'll just keep quiet because they don't know what to do because they know that they don't know. They know that they don't know. All right? So, it's preached under the seventh seal. And this ministry is not going to attract numbers. Because it's going to get so layered that some of you are going to say it's too much of work. I'd rather go back where they're speaking about television and shorts. Because this man has gone to a point where I can't understand. So the fourth thing is preached from another son who has come into a place where the life of the Son of God is reproduced, the ministry is reproduced, and the dispensation is reproduced. Now, I can take all these things here that we are speaking about, and we can spend hours on these things, but we don't have the time. Because this one here, you'll find, is basically the shout. This is the shout, all right? So, let's do some quick comparisons to show you how you can read your Bible and not really know what's going on. Many of you have heard this before. People talk to you about this, isn't it? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And some of you don't know how to answer them because people ask me the same question as well. So let's look at it. But when you look at John 4:16, I want you to see there's a fourth seal and a seventh seal there. There's a fourth seal and a seventh seal. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is a colon. There's a colon. No man cometh unto the Father. That means there will come a time that the people can go to the Father. So let's break this down. The way, the truth, and the life will take you into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The way, the truth, and life incorporates the preaching of the Son of God, and that will be from the day of Pentecost all the way up to that fourth seal. So even your Bible is layered with mysteries. You cannot take the Bible and just go through lexicons and historical things. You might get somewhere, but not all the way. You need a prophetic and apostolic and a pastoral to come and help you and show you this thing. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when it says no man can come unto the Father, it shows that there is a time when the children comes to the Father. They are ready to come to the Father, and they are ready to understand for the Father to have a oneness with the children. So that's under the seventh seal. That's the unveiling of God in the day of redemption. That's this under the seventh seal when God himself comes down with a shout to call his children, both living and dead, and to be gathered. Now, just be careful. Well, I put you to call his children from both the living and the dead. Right now, you'd find that when he came, from 46 to 65, Brother Branham's ministry was, and that's what happens most of the time, is that when somebody reads the message books, they put everything together. They put everything together as the message. But you do know that Brother Branham was a starlight to the church ages. So from 46 to 63. Oh, shouldn't I? I think I did it here, but don't turn the screen now. It's okay. Let me just look for my notes first. Let's keep that up there. Sometimes people think it. Okay, let's see. I remember doing this some time ago, and I don't want to go back and. Was it in another book? It's not here. Okay, here you are. Can you switch over, brother? Okay, so remember I did this some time ago. So Brother Branham was preaching as a church age messenger, Revelation 3:14. He was preaching to the non-elect. He's preaching to the elected. He was addressing the system. He was a messenger to the age. All right, that was from 46. And from 46 onwards, you'd find that it was the first pull and the second pull that was in operation. And we see that a portion of Revelation 3:20 is fulfilled of, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." All right. And I think I must do a slide of this thing. So we see that under the church ages of 46 to 62, he's anointed by an angel. Okay, he's anointed by an angel. If you can't really see my chart, it's quite clear on the streaming. So go back to the recordings, okay? And then from 1962, his ministry changes. That is now looking more like the sun, the moonlight. That's why it's called the moonlight. His ministry changes and he preaches statue of a perfect man. I got chance there, but I'm not going to switch it. And so God is not dealing with the denominations anymore. So I can put something here that from 46 until the opening of the seals, the church world is preaching and are still preaching fourth seal. Okay? So you're going to ask me, is it out of season? Yes, it's out of season. They will only get the earnest, but they can't come into maturity. They can't come into sonship. They can't come into rapturing faith. All right? And in 1963, we see that Revelation 10, we see a book being opened and a mighty angel comes down. All right, a mighty angel comes down. What is it? And that is called the shout. That shout, right, is where now becomes the voice of God. So be careful now. You have shout, voice, and trump. But I'm talking about the voice to the bride. So this message here is the one that is actually the seventh seal. It's a seventh seal gospel. All right? I think I will try and see. I'll do a chart of that and bring it up one of the days. So it becomes more clear for you to understand. Somewhere in my notes, I've done it before. So where now that we know that the mighty angel comes down, he is here, and I know this is on streaming, but brethren at the back, if you're going to help me, pick up the quote which says, and that angel is on the earth fixing everything for the rapture. So that angel is teaching this prophet, all right? And I think it's in Lee Vale's audio tape to Lee Vale. Brother Brown is trying to, speaking to Lee Vale, and he's speaking of something sitting by the tent, which was the angel of the Lord. And you're going to learn that this angel here was teaching this prophet. All right. Now, after the prophet of God leaves the earth, the ministry continues to the dead. And I've done that series. Okay. You can go and look at that. I forget what I titled it. I think it's called Ministry Beyond the Grave. Where Brother Brown says that Luther needs this message. He needs this ministry. Okay? So that they could rise up. So who is going to preach it to them? And lots of times in the message communities, they say that this bride, which is on the earth, will speak them out of the dead. They don't even know anything about the seventh seal and Godhead. How are they going to call the dead? They can't. Because there is a quote which says that angel is on the earth, fixing everything for the rapture. So there is something going on beyond this dimension where that angel is with this prophet, okay? And the pillar of fire and the Spirit of God has not yet left the earth. Oh, Lord, I'm going into another aspect of everything, and I don't want to swing my notes. But you must trust me, or you can go and search it out. I don't know if the brothers picked up the quote, but if you got it, you can flash it. Brother Brown says, he says that spirit which is amongst us will leave the earth. And you're going to find out today who that spirit is, will come, will leave the earth and incarnate that body. He says, and then we'll crown him. Not the Son, but Jehovah Jesus, the Almighty God. Okay? Let's move on. If you have it, you'll just remind me, Brother Larry. It's good to have you back, Brother Larry. Anyway, he's leaving again. What Sister Peggy's going to do? No, Claudia's excited. Okay, so let's go. So what we want to make sure of our Godhead gospel is that without the understanding of our Godhead, we cannot separate the dispensations. We will not be able to separate the different blessings that come in preaching the Son of God and preaching the Almighty God. It's a big difference. You see, under the fourth seal, the church world emphasizes gifts and blessings. They're excited. Oh, brother, hey, so-and-so got healed. Yeah, you heard about it? We got slain. Because they focus under the fourth seal of gifts and blessings. Because the height of preaching the Son of God just stops at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you might say, but Brother Louis, you're saying they've been baptized. Yes, you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost and still not make it. See, the angel of the Lord is on the earth now. He's moving around, fixing everything for the coming of the Lord. Okay, there's lots of quotes on it. Okay? So, if we don't preach the Godhead as according to the seventh seal, we can't separate dispensations. We will focus on gifts and blessings. You say, but Brother Louis, but why aren't we doing that? Because why would you want a sucker, which you're called dummy, okay? Or why would you need a walker when I can teach you how to walk and teach you how not to use a pacifier? Right? Because we address you not as children, but we address you as sons of God. So we don't teach you about gifts and blessings. We teach you about position and authority. We teach you who you are and the authority that you have, that you don't have to even go and lay hands upon the people. But you've got to believe according to your faith it can be done. So, if you're preaching the Son of God, all you'll ever do is stop at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you'll hear people say, oh, brother, we had a wonderful service. We were healed and people were healed and delivered. And that's all they could go, because that's gifts and blessings. Amen? But when you're preaching the unveiling of God, and when you're preaching about the Father, now you're bringing the children to have communion. You're bringing the sons of God back to communion. Remember that Adam lost communion with God. He lost title deed. He lost the rights to the tree of life. Okay? And I hope this does not cause you to look too much into it, but there will come a time in your life that you will not pray and ask this in the name of the Son. That means you will not pray from the position of the blood. So we'll be able to speak outside. We'll be able to speak to God outside of the blood. You say, but how is that? It's because, remember, Brother Branham was walking down on the road to the storm of Colorado, and the angel of the Lord said to him, don't you want to walk with me? And he said, is that you, Jehovah? And now he's got direct access to the Father. And that's what God's going to do to this bride, is that her faith will be raised so much, okay, that now, according to her faith, it'll be so. Okay, let's go on. In John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the evidence under the seventh seal of the children that have come through the way, the truth, and the life, now they are coming unto the Father, because now they come to know the Father. That gospel of God, it will incorporate the appellations of God, of the Old Testament, the appellations of God in the New Testament, the appellations of God for the Son of God in the New Testament, and during the seven church ages. That means Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha are all appellations. Okay? That's how God is called. You'll begin to understand all that, and now your clarity about who God is and who the Son is becomes more and more clear, that now you begin to have a better relationship. And that's why you find that In our assembly, we do not focus so much on your mistakes, although now and again I address it. But we don't major in it. Because your children, no matter how much you tell them, they will still do things to hurt you and disappoint you, but that does not make them not your children. But if a parent focuses outside of do's and don'ts and reinforce and compliment them on a positive note, you would find that your child's behavior will change. You say, I just don't understand. Well, if your marriage is in trouble, have you ever tried looking at the good of your marriage partner and not the bad? Have you tried not giving your opinions and your thoughts and focusing on how good they are? And come back and tell me about your marriage. It'll be completely changed. You see, when a ministry focuses on your weaknesses, it makes you worse. If you focus on your children, I did two services yesterday with somebody, I was called, and one was a committal. Somebody died in 2021, and they had to do the committal yesterday. And the other one was a Thanksgiving or a birthday. And both the places, I was talking a few things about life, you know. And you must understand is that you are placed here because he wants to gain expression through you. It's not the other way around. It's not you need him. He needs you, because without you, he can't express himself. Are you with me? And by coming to understand who your God is, you'll begin to understand how he looks at you. He looks beyond your faults. So you as a father should look beyond the faults of your son or your daughter. As a minister, look beyond the faults of the congregation and just continuously just speak more about God. You know, you'd find that if your plants are dying, you talk to your plants and you can talk them back to life. If you didn't know that. You know plants can talk? You don't believe me? Do you know that energy from one plant will transfer to the other plant? You try it. Take some green tomatoes and ripe tomatoes, put it together and see how quickly the green tomatoes get ripe. Okay? Because it's an energy flow. It's the same thing in your home. You create an environment, create an atmosphere of talking about this gospel under the seventh seal and see what happens in your family. Let's move on. Okay. So when we're looking under the fourth seal, and we're preaching about the Son of God, so the gospel under the fourth seal was different. Why? Because the gospel from the day of Pentecost to the fourth seal, they preached the Messiah, they preached the Christ. They preached on the Son of God. They preached on the atonement. They spoke about the sin offering, the sacrifice, the advocate, the high priest, the intercessor. And nobody had the understanding and the knowledge to know, is that really the one? Is that really the Christ? Is that really the real atonement? No. Because remember that they were... The knowledge that God was holding back was until a prophet arrives to explain who really is the atonement, who really is the fourth seal, who really is the sacrifice, all right? And who really is the advocate. Sorry, there are slides, but this is called the advocate, the high priest, the intercession, sacrifice, sin offering. But without the seventh seal, it was okay. You'd experience great blessings. I was in Pentecost, and I can tell you that it was real. It was real. The excitement was real. It was not made up. People really love God. You know, and even now if you go to Pentecostal churches, I think now in the message churches, you see the same thing. That's what they're speaking about. But you must understand something, brothers and sisters, is that in Matthew chapter 16, okay, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was asking them, who do you say I am? And if I had to ask you, who do you say is the real Messiah? Who's the real Christ? Here's the tricky one. Who is the Son of God? Now let me confuse you a little bit. And let's see if you can understand me. You know, the Father was also called the Son of God. What do you mean? How can you say that? I'll let you stew on that for a little while. Okay? But those of you that are studying will catch it. Those of you on the streaming, wait for it when I clarify the Son of God. All right, let's go on. So Jesus was talking in Matthew 16, saying when Jesus came unto the borders of Syria, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah. He said to them, but who say you that I am? And Simon Peter answers that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that, brothers and sisters, was a fourth seal revelation. It's a fourth seal revelation. Amen? Because if you read the message, the rapture, Peter only had half of the revelation who was standing there. He was not wrong. Neither was he totally right. Because when you read that, it seems, but brother, he's right. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood had not revealed this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, had revealed this to you. Upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is and who Jesus is. So, Peter only had half of the revelation. He only knew who Jesus was. But he did not know who God was. That revelation comes only under the seventh seal. He is a revelation of God, God made in flesh and revealed to the world. So the gospel of today, today's gospel, is revealing the part B of Matthew 16:16. Who God is and who Jesus is. Under the fourth seal, there was no distinction. Because there was no clarity. The ministry of Son of Man was not yet. And so when you spoke about the anointer, the Messiah, the Christ, it's all pointed only to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel of today is not about what the Pentecostals or the seven church ages are preaching, but today's gospel is revealing the part B of Matthew 16:16. It's not only thou art the Christ, but this is also bringing a distinction that the Son of God was also the incarnated God from Jordan to Gethsemane. We did not know that until the prophet tells us that. He tells us that I showed you this quote, 12-year-old boy who didn't know much, and the father did not dwell in him until the River Jordan. In one of the series, I brought that out. We didn't know that. You'll never know that until the seven seal is opened up to you. So that's why you can read the message books, you can listen to the tapes, you can read your Bible, but that aspect of the seventh seal will be veiled to you. And you might say, but what will happen? Does it make it wrong? Do they have a wrong gospel? Well, the problem that you're going to have is that the songs that they're singing will be portraying the Son. Because if you read the scripture of Matthew 16:16, upon this rock, okay? If you go and read your Bible, it says, upon this rock, I will build my church. The revelation of who God is and who Jesus is, that is where God is going to build his church. Amen? Because it's not built on the revelation of the Son of God only. It's a revelation of who God is. Amen? So until the church world, the bride comes to the revelation of the Father, until the bride comes to revelation who the Son is, the bride cannot leave. Because the church that is built on the revelation of only the Son cannot come to the Father. And that's why you find that the gospel that you preach, the gospel that you listen to, seems somewhat different. Because remember that the gospel that is preached under the fourth seal speaks about the Son of God and does not speak about the one that's behind the veil. Are we together? All right, let's go on. John 17. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them who also believe on me through their word. Now, when people look at the word believe on me, they say, well, here's a scripture here. Jesus said, believe on me. But they don't understand. The angel of the Lord told Brother Branham, if you can get the people to believe you, not believe that they are gods, but have confidence in them, that they all be one, even as the Father, Father art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one. Only today, only in this day when the seals have been opened, now we begin to understand it was not about the Son. It's about the Father. It's not about the veil. It's the one that's behind the veil. Amen? So we cannot preach the gospel of the closed book, because if we do that, we're going to magnify the Son of God. It was acceptable for a season. Okay? But this seventh seal is the unveiling of God. The mighty God unveiled. The capstone revelation. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Who is this Jesus called Christ? Look at the titles. And people keep asking me, but why do you mean God? It's such a big thing. But all the titles are telling you that it's something that you should look at. So, the great mystery of God and the great mystery of Christ is only revealed when we come to the true knowledge of the Son of God. Once you understand that, once you understand who the Son of God is, now some of you are thinking, but you just said the Father is the Son of God. Well, that's the dispensation. The fatherhood and the Son of God is a dispensation. There were three offices, okay? But the Father did not become the Son. So you'd find that the Jesus that God vindicated to us, the Jesus that God witnessed to us during the apostolic days and the seven church ages, you see, God vindicated his son. That is why I think Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, with signs and wonders in the book of Acts. So God vindicated him because it was not yet time for the veil to be lifted, because a prophet has to come, the ministry of Son of Man have to return so that the veil can be pulled back. So we believe that the Jesus that was vindicated, the Jesus that was witnessed, is Jesus the Son of God. He is not the Father, but he is the Son of God. Amen? So after the fourth seal and the beginning of the seventh seal, this scripture actually kicks in. John 17:21, that they all may be one. You see, you cannot come to be one with the Father unless you know who the Father is. You talk to anybody who don't understand Godhead, ask them to explain to you the scripture of John 17, they can't explain it to you. They either will get into arguments or tell you that you're too intellectual, because they want to transgress, they want to step aside the subject. Because the Bible says at that day, okay, they all be one. It says, as the Father and me and I indeed, that they also may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So now we are beginning to understand that the Father sent the Son. We did not know that under the fourth seal. And all our songs were around the Son of God. But you know the scriptures that God will not share his glory with no man. Alright? So, the Son of God was the one that was preached in the church ages, preached by the apostles, preached by the seven church age messengers. Amen? Now, even when you read your Bible, you know, lots of times people argue with me, and I've learned not to argue with people anymore because there are so many scriptures I can prove to you that Jesus, the Son, is not the Father. Okay? Now look at these scriptures, John 20:31. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now that's the fourth seal. Because now, if you stop there, all you are going to get is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's it, and you can't move any further. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now you might say, but brother, you're saying believe. I did teach you on, you can have faith of God, faith in Christ, and perfect faith. There are three different faiths. Okay? So you can believe on God, just purely but how God used his Son. The faith of God. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 19:20, straightway preach Christ on synagogue that he is the Son of God. So they preach that Jesus is the Son of God. And you'd find that, you know, there are lots of people today will tell you of how God used Brother Branham. That's the faith of God. How God was working through a prophet. How God was working through his Son. But that's all it could do for you. Where you can have faith the faith of God in you. Faith of God, faith in God, and perfect faith. There are three different types of faith. Okay? But under the seventh seal is where God wants to bring you to that revelation faith or perfect faith. This is not good. That's, you know, you can only speak about the prophet's experiences for a limited season. And it can't do much for you thereafter. How much can you speak about the squirrels and the storms of Colorado, Hattie Wright and so forth? That's all you can do. But God wants to take you to another level where you too can have that same experience. Not on the measure like Brother Branham or the Son of God, but you too can have a relationship with your God. But having faith in what God is doing is just only the start. Okay? All right. I believe to speak in His name, I believe I'm not going to speak it in His name. I'm going to speak it in the revelation of my faith. So that's what's going to come. That's what's going to happen. He says, I believe the hour is approaching when missing limbs will be restored and the glorious power of the Creator. I believe if He can make a squirrel appear and that if a man or woman has got a part missing, and that complete animal in itself. So He's telling you of the glorious times that we're going to have ahead of us. So that's why the third full ministry, He says, it's not going to be a public show. It's not going to happen in the local church. The third full ministry is like the widow whose oil was running out. It was a private thing that was taking place in your life. So it's going to be individuals that are going to experiencing this power in their lives. It's not going to be a global thing or a church thing. Okay? Are we good? Oh, there's so much, Lord. I'm just trying to see where I can try and bring this down. So we already know the Jesus that we are going to speak about is not the Son, but we are speaking about the Son of Man, which is God Himself. Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. It's not Son becoming, it's not Jehovah becoming the Son, but Jehovah changing His name and calling Himself Jesus. Amen. We're a rush, Lord. So we spoke about this. Have you all not one, all one Father? That not one God created us. So we know that we have one Father. We know that we have one God. Why do we deal treacherously each man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our Father? So there's some scriptures I want to show you to show to you that we have a Father. And we know that this is all about the Father. This is all about Jehovah God. Isaiah chapter 63, doubtless thou art our Father through Abraham. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, that means Jehovah, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is for everlasting. So in the Old Testament, this is speaking about the fatherhood of God. Now, I want you to understand as I pick this thing up now, that we have shown you a little bit about the Son of God, and we said to you it was okay under the fourth seal. But the period is now, focus is now changing now towards the Father. Amen? And that is why you must become mindful of a few things today, and you must make specific note if you want your prayers to be heard by God, because you got to pray with understanding and you got to worship with understanding. You got to worship under according to the seventh seal and not under the fourth seal. Amen? Calling Jesus on the scene, it says the same invisible God identified himself in the pillar of fire, a Shekinah glory when they dedicated the temple of Solomon. It's come in, and the pillar of fire went in behind the curtains onto the Holy of Holies. And when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the invisible Jesus. So now you already know and that there is an invisible Jesus. Okay? So the question you should be asking yourself, who is this invisible Jesus? So every time you're thinking, when we're speaking about the invisible Jesus, when we are speaking about God, when we are speaking about the Father, when we are speaking about Son of Man, your thinking must immediately not go to the Son of God. It must go to God Himself. Okay? Who is the Father. Amen? So, when we are reading about to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and when you start thinking of the name Lord Jesus Christ, and when you think of the body name, the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be thinking Holy Spirit. You must be thinking God. All right? Because you might say, but why would that be? Watch this one now. He says, when Paul, on the road to Damascus, this invisible Jesus identified himself to Paul in the form of the Shekinah glory, a light that put out that sinner's eyes. He says, that same Shekinah glory is here tonight. That same yesterday, today, and forever, representing an invisible God. Now, you are going to hear on tapes many a times that Brother Branham is saying that Jesus is here. You must be able to pick up and say, oh, that's the Father. Your thinking must not be the Son of God. Because the Son of God, which we learned, can't do anything for you. Okay, we will track him just now. If I have the time, we're going to track the visible Jesus and track the invisible Jesus. Okay? So when we're using the body name, I showed you the quote, the body name is Jesus. But when you're using the body name Jesus, we must be thinking Holy Ghost, we must be thinking ministry, we must be thinking Father, we must be thinking God, we must be thinking Jehovah. Even when you are praying, your thinking must not be the Son. Your thinking must be the Father. Dear Father, I thank you for today. All right? So, when we are talking about the invisible Jesus, don't think of the man who has a soul. All right, let's go on. He is here today. Who's that? We can say invisible Jesus. We can say the Almighty God. We can say it was Jehovah of the old and Jesus of the new. We can say Son of Man. Now, if he is the vine and the light proves to the scientific world that he is the same Logos that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. So now we are seeing, he is now going back to Jehovah. He says, because Jehovah was that Logos. He was in the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. It was not Jesus the Son. And I did say to you that after he created the world, you hear nothing about the Son because the Son just becomes a witness. You don't hear anything about the Son. He just becomes the Father's witness. He says, in the church tonight, if you are the members of his body, that angel of the Lord is here. So when you're looking at that angel of the Lord, that is none other than God himself in the form of an angel. You say, but why would it? He stands there. I take every spirit under my control for the glory of God. Now, he Brother Branham did not know who was that until the seals opened. He would say, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord. But he did not know who that was. Because from 46, or from the time of this prophet's birth, the pillar of fire was coming down and going up. Coming down and going up. From 46, Ohio River, George Lacey takes the photographs, and then they have meetings, the pillar of fire comes in. It's not the Son of God. That's the invisible Jesus that's coming in our day. Amen? You see, but are you sure? Here it is. See, it's the same Logos, the same Spirit, the same God was in, the same God that was in Jesus. Now, how will the oneness handle that? You see, the easiest thing for them to do is step aside and say, why are you making that such a big thing? But no, brother, this is 1958, and he's saying that the same God was in Jesus. That's as good as saying Jesus in Jesus. If that's his picture, you know which picture he's talking about? Well, the trustees took it down. That light above Brother Branham. That's not the Son of God. He's moving here in us. He's bringing forth the same fruit because he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now watch this 90s question answer. Now he's sitting in the majesty of the Father. Who's he? Anybody? Who is that he? That's the Son. Now he's sitting in the majesty of the Father. Now, when we say Jesus, when we say Father, it is Jesus. It is the Spirit of God. By the Holy Spirit. He is on the Father's throne, right hand of the majesty. We use the body name Jesus Christ, who appeared, the Holy Spirit, which is God. So every time you hear the word Jesus on the tapes, he is referring to the Spirit of God. He's referring to God himself. Because he's trying to tell you, he's on the Father's throne. He can't come down. And the one that's in your midst is not the Son. So when you hear on tape, when Brother Brown says that Jesus is here, always say that's the Father. That's the Son. And that's not the Son. That's the Father. It's a Son of Man ministry. It's Jehovah God himself. But you see, when the people are praying in the message community, when people are praying in the denomination, and they use the word Jesus Christ, there's no distinction. There's no distinction. But God already knows whether they have a revelation of him or not. You say, but how? Well, those of you that go to school and you don't do your homework and your mother and father do your homework, and somebody asks you to explain and you can't explain because your mother and father did your homework. But if you do your homework yourself, you can explain. Okay, you can explain. Let's go on. So when we say Father, it is Jesus. Now, I brought a slide out so you can. So when we're saying Father, we're saying it's the Lord of the Old Testament. When you're saying Jesus, remember that when we use the word Lord, when we use the word Jesus, when we use the word Father, under the seventh seal, our preaching is never about the Son of God. It's always about the Lord of the Old Testament. It's always about Jehovah, who is the title of deity. It's always about the God of the Old Testament. It's always about the Father of Jesus. It's the Father of Israel. The Holy Spirit, the Father who has Zoe. So when you're looking at the word, at the name Lord Jesus Christ, there is a mystery to it. If you take the word Lord, it applies to the Old Testament Lord. It applies to Jehovah. It applies to the God of the Old Testament. It applies to the Father of Jesus. It applies to the Holy Spirit. It applies to the Father who has got Zoe and who's got sons. It applies to the Father of Israel. See, many a times we don't realize that the word Lord encompasses all this. We don't realize it. It encompasses all this. We don't understand there's a mystery behind the name Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's not about the Son. So when I use the word Lord, I'm talking about Him. I'm talking about Jehovah. I'm talking about the Old Testament God. I'm talking about the Father of Jesus. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Your mind must not go to the Lord that was made Lord. So when you're speaking about the Lord, it's when he was walking under the age of the law, which is the prophets. When we're talking about the Lord, it's about the pillar of fire, when God was above them in the form of the holy pillar of fire. It was to Israel. When I'm talking about the Lord, it is speaking about the Creator with His Son. When I'm talking about the Lord, I'm talking about when the law of anointing came about, where he anointed the priests and the prophets. Remember that when Samuel poured the oil over David, it was not the Son of God doing the anointing. When the Bible speaks of the angel of the Lord, that was God himself coming to anoint them. Okay? So when I'm speaking about the Lord, I am speaking about the King Theophany, who acted under the law of transformation, who appeared to Abraham as a man, who appeared to Moses, who appeared to Samson, who appeared to Joshua, who appeared to Daniel. But you see, in the Old Testament, we did not know much then. Because Jehovah Elohim was represented here by the prophets. When they brought the law, they spoke on behalf of Jehovah. When that pillar of fire came down, that was the law that was above them. Brother Brian says, in one of my slides, you'll see God above us, God with us, and God in us. All right? So this is, the seventh seal is not about the Son. Like once somebody asked, but brother, why do you make the Son of God as if he's not important? I said, no, he is important. He's my big brother. And he got offended by that. But I'm not lying, because I showed you the quote last week. We have a big brother. This is very hard to understand this, brothers and sisters, is when you don't understand the gospel under the seventh seal. It sounds so strange to answer many questions, but yet you can read. There are people across the world that's reading the Bible, but they don't know what the message people know, because they only read the Bible. And when you are speaking about the seventh seal and the seven thunders, the mighty angel, those that are listening to Brother Branham say, but brother, where are you getting all this from? So I read to you the scripture, and Jehovah is asking them about, what, you know, a son honoreth his father and his servant his master. If I be your father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Because the church world took away the honor of the Father. You say, but what do you mean? Everything is about the Son. Everything is about, the music is about the Son. The testimony is about the Son. They've taken away the honor which is required by God in Malachi 1 and 6. So even the baptism is not about the Father. It's about the Son. But under the seventh seal, we are taught this is the Father's name. Lord Jesus Christ is actually the Father's name. All right, let's see. Let's go on. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his own? So, who created us? Definitely not the Son. But although you read the book of Ephesians, he created everything by his Son. Everything was created by... No, you see, but how do you understand that? Well, it's very simple. The Father gave the Son visions. He was the invisible Jesus speaking to the visible Jesus, gave him visions. The Son spoke the word, but it was still the Father who performed the miracle. Okay? You say, but prove it. The boy, the truant at school, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus raises up the bread. Father, I thank you. And the bread grew. Jesus, if the Son of God was really the Father, why does he have to pray to the Father? I read to you the scripture that about Jehovah is the Father. I need to rush, so please understand. By now you know that the Son can't create. Okay? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. This is not about the Son. This is about the Father. Okay? This is about the Father. This is about the invisible Jesus. The deity of Jesus. Who is he? Some of them think he's a little baby. Sorry, my writing is a bit small there. He's the one that stood on the invisible platform. Now watch this now. The deity, who is he? Some of them think him a little baby back there. He's the one that stood on the invisible platform, reached out his hands and spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. That was Jesus Christ. Now when you read that quote and you're thinking baby, the church world goes back to the man. Let's go on. For he was in the world was made by him, and the world recognized him. He was, and he is the deity of God. Look what he did back there. Talk about the miraculous back there. You talk about shouting when he performed the miracles to make things which are now out of things which was not. He spoke, and it was so. So when you're reading that now, he says that was Jesus, right? Don't think fourth seal. Learn to think seventh seal. Because he says in 7 compound names, he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. All the healing comes from God. No healing comes from no other resource but God. No man can heal, never did, never will. Healing comes from God, and God is life. You may say, but probably that's not so clear. All right, let's give you the benefit of the doubt, even those of you on streaming, okay? Now watch this. I want to ask you something. You never did come from anyone. Jesus never healed anybody. That's what he said. I can do nothing. Now, I didn't write that there. So if you read part of the quotes and you are giving glory to the Son, you're already in sin. You broke your first commandment. Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. So you can read the message Under the fourth seal and say, yeah, you are wrong, Brother Louis. But under the seventh seal, the hidden truth comes out which says, but the Son can do nothing. Jesus never healed anybody. He says, I can do nothing. It's like this. You have two people that are working in a company, and the man at the bottom does all the hard work. Right? He does everything, but his supervisor gets promoted. Does it make the man at the bottom happy? No, he's disappointed. You know? It may not be a good example, but who's the one behind the miracles? It was not the son, it was the father. Because he was invisible. He was behind the scenes. He was not in the forefront. Just a little bit of recap of some things. Is that when Brother Branham uses the word Jesus, in the Old Testament, he's referring to the Father, the pillar of fire, the theophany, the angel of the covenant, the spirit of Christ, the Logos, Christ, the rock. Can you imagine now, if you don't really understand the seventh seal, so you can pick up quotes and say, hey, Brother Louis. But Brother says that Jesus is the Father. But watch how he uses that. Because Jesus is God's true eternal name. Brother Branham already knew who God was. Paul already knew who God was. I showed you that in the previous year. Peter already knew who God was. They knew who Jesus the Son was. All right, so see, the Old Testament, this is what he does. This, when he refers to Jesus, he says Jesus, the Father, the pillar of fire, theophany. That's why when you read your message books and you go back now, you must know that, you must look at it. It's not the Son. Because when we track him today, still have some time, you're going to see that where the Son is. So Jesus, as I told you, is the eternal name of God, okay? It's the human name of God. He hid that. But right through, you'll see the prophet of God. I think I duplicated my slides, okay? Right through, you'll see this prophet of God is using that also to refer to the Holy Ghost, the Logos, the body name, the angel of the Lord. He also uses Jesus for the Son. Okay? He uses Jesus to speak about the Holy Ghost, the Father. Now, there's a lots and lots and lots of quotes. If I brought the quotes out, we'll be here for the whole week. And you got to go back to work. All right. So even when you're looking at Christ, so we look at Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I told you, Lord Jesus Christ has a mystery to it because it's layered. When you're looking at Christ in the message, he applies you to the angel of covenant, the Logos, the pillar of fire, the anointer, the anointing. He refers to as Christ, prophets as Christ. Christ is referred to as God, the I Am, the Father, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit. So you can take quotes and support it under the fourth seal, and you'll miss God by a mile. Are we together? All right, let's go on. So you hear Brother Brown speaking about God above us, God in us, and God with us. And so you find that in order for you to understand God above us, that's the fatherhood. How God operated in the Old Testament. He walked under the pillar of fire, or the Holy Ghost, or the Logos. And in that period of the fatherhood, he never incarnated anybody. Very important. So when he was above us, he was the one which was teaching Moses, teaching the prophets. Why? It was the pillar of fire. So God above us was actually Christ, the Logos, God himself, teaching the prophets. But he never incarnated anybody. Even though you read your Bible, he says, I'm come down to deliver my people. And the Bible says, and the angel of his presence went before Moses. He never incarnated Moses. Okay, he never incarnated Moses. Sorry, oh my goodness, I went too fast. Okay, he never incarnated Moses. So, God above us is the pillar of fire. And what was it? God was anointing the people. He was anointing the people. It was the Logos anointing the prophets to teach them. And then you have God with us. Okay? God with us. So when you're looking at God above us, you'll see he speaks about the angel of the covenant, the angel of his presence. What was he doing? It was leading the children of Israel. That God above us was actually Jehovah, Elohim, Melchizedek, okay, the angel of the covenant, Christ, Jesus, which is the Father, not Jesus the Son, Jehovah, that was God above us. So when you hear Brother Brian says, and God above us, you'll hear Brother Brian speak about this. He starts talking about Abraham. He starts talking about Moses. He starts talking about David. He begins to speak about Daniel. Why? It was God above them, anointing them, teaching them, directing them. Okay? So he might even say, and Jesus was with Moses. He's not talking about the Son. He's not talking about the Son. All right? So with God above us, it is important to note that it was Jehovah working under bulls and goats. That means it was a period of time when Jehovah wanted blood. It was the Father, God, working under the blood of bulls and goats, working under prophets. And where they made the tabernacle, the high priest would come in and make sacrifices. But the people never lived forever. There was no body change. They never entered into a theophonic body. That is why you see Samuel, that when he died, he came up as an old man. When people died under the fatherhood, they went into what we call paradise. So every year, under the dispensation of God above us, which is the fatherhood, they had to do sacrifices every year. Okay? They had to bring sacrifices to Jehovah Jesus, which is God himself. We're not talking about the Son. We're talking about the Father. But you see, with God above them, or God above us, the sins was not taken away. The sin of what they have done was never taken away. It was just an appeasement of the conscience. Just appeasement of the conscience. But so when they died, they could not go into the sixth dimension because they went into a place called paradise. You can read that in the adoption series, I think. Yeah. So they could not go into the sixth dimension in that period of God above us where angels were. I just introduced the sixth dimension a few weeks ago, where angels live in the sixth dimension. So those that died could not go into the sixth dimension. They had to remain in paradise. Okay, because of the bulls and goats only covered their sins, did not take away the sin. But when you when you make the Son of God greater than Jehovah God, now you make the creation greater than the Creator. Okay? And that's why it's very important for us to understand that God could not stay under that dispensation of God above us, or the fatherhood, or how God operated in the pillar of fire and anointed the prophets, because his God's purpose was to have a family reunited with him. And he could not do that under prophets. He could not do that with the law. He could not do that with the tabernacle. Amen? And that is why the dispensation had to change. Amen? And then we have God with us. Now, I did a series some time ago, and you can go and listen to it. I think it was one of the Easter series, is about whose body was this? Whose body was this? All right? Now, many a times when you looking at the fatherhood, many of the things that took place under the fatherhood was a foreshadow or prefigure. And most of the times we're thinking it's about the Son. Everything was eventually going to point to the Father. Everything is going to point to the Father. Amen? So what is God going to do? He's going to move away from this dispensation, and now he's going to come in to be amongst us. So how can God be amongst us? I think this by this you would know, is that he created a blood cell. And because the blood of Adam could not bring the children of God back, bulls and goats could not do that, so he created a blood cell that began to form into a body. And when the body was fully developed, the soul of the Son, which was a witness, and I showed you this in the previous series, that the Father built took a piece of the pillar of fire and built a body for his Son. So the Son had his own theophany, the Father had his own theophany, and now in the New Testament now, the Father allows the Son to live in a body which the Father built. This is where the fourth seal gospel changes with the seventh seal gospel. It was not the blood of the Son, but it was the blood of the Son. Ah, I'm confused now, by the way. Whose blood do you have? Your father and your mother. Okay? So when the blood cell that was in the womb of Mary, and we spoke about this, and Jehovah wrapped himself in the blood cell, it was not Jehovah, the Spirit, or the Father coming and living in the womb of Mary, because God is never born. All that God is doing was condescending, lower himself from invisible, coming into time, coming to live in a body at the River Jordan and nothing more. So God put his traits, characteristics, and his qualities in this blood cell. So now when the Son of God lives in this body, you would find now, he was tempted in every way, but he couldn't fall. Did you know that? Jesus, the Son of God, was placed in that body of God to prove that he cannot fall. So that becomes God with us. You say, but how was God with us? God was with us biologically. Biologically. And so that body was the address where God is going to live. You see, you live at a certain address, but the address is not you. You live at that address. So when the angel saw, the angel of the Lord on the eighth day, he's going to the temple, he says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." That name was given to that baby. Joseph and Mary never thought of that name. The angel said, "You must call his name Jesus." Oh yes, people say, "But Brother Louis, the Bible says Emmanuel means God with us." Yes. Look, temptation was for him. You know, the Bible says he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking, he was tempted by woman, he was tempted by everything could be tempted. He was tempted by everything that that we are. He was a man, and yet you couldn't put a mark on him. He was tempted in all forms. Okay, there's another quote which says he had a right to a home, a right to a family, a right to a marriage. But he didn't go that way. So he was living, the Son of God was given the opportunity to live at this address, because that body was originated not by the Son, but originated by God himself, engineered by God himself, to operate and to carry the blood cell. You say, "But Brother Louis, why?" Because I said to you, under the dispensation of God above us, the sin could not be done away with. It could not be done away with. The sin can only be done away with when God is with us. And so we see that, that the blood basically was the blood of God, and in that blood was the Zoe. The Bible, he says in leadership, he says we are the gene of his spirit. So God's purpose was, he wants to bring back the bride, and he could not bring back the bride through Adam. He could not do that with God above us. So the Son of God's purpose, you are going to say, "But what was the Son of God's purpose?" You see, nobody could understand God, get near God, hear his voice. But now God was now personified, coming to be a person in that period when God was with us. So from Jordan to Gethsemane, and listen to me carefully, and even those of you on streaming, every time you read a quote that Jesus is God, he's referring to Jordan to Gethsemane. When Jesus, the Son of God, maybe the brothers can pick up this quote because I haven't got it in my notes, after Jesus dedicated himself to God. Now, at Jordan, he was Jesus. Now, when we say Emmanuel, God was with us. God was with us there before Jordan by blood. So let's write this down. I know I did this before, but I'm not going to. Okay, yes, it's here. It's good to have your book, eh? Okay. When Solomon built the temple, it was dedicated, and God came into the temple and dwelt there. And when Jesus Christ was dedicated to God on the river Jordan. Hold it. If Jesus Christ, as the church world is preaching, he is God, why does the Bible say when Jesus Christ was dedicated to God on the river Jordan, God came down and dwelt in Jesus Christ? He is Jehovah. Why? Because that was God with us. Now, this we did this some time ago, right? Our God, as if God is with us, and Christ and God are one. Why? Because how was God with us? He was a God-man. He was a God's PC. There are quotes. I showed you those quotes. He was a God's PC. He had the blood of God. Okay? The body belonged to God. The spirit came from God. The doctrine he had was about God. Okay? The blood that he had was not his blood. It was the blood of the Father. So, when people read the scriptures, Emmanuel, God with us, it means God biologically with us. And then from Jordan, it is God now incarnating that body. God now incarnating that body. Amen? So when the fatherhood ends, it now comes into God with us. Okay? Because now, it means now there is a body on the earth. So the fatherhood has to end. Now it becomes a new dispensation. That dispensation of God with us is also called the Son of God and the Son of Man dispensation. You can look at it, Son of God under the fourth seal. You can look at it, Son of Man under the seventh seal. All right? But there is a period. I did show you all the charts before, but I don't have the time. Go back to the series I've done before. So when God was with us, it was God incarnating himself in that body. All right? And God in us, this is speaking about the Holy Ghost dispensation. God in us, not God himself, but a part of God, which is Zoe. Okay? Zoe is in us. All right. Let's go on. So when you're talking about the visible Jesus, you're talking about the Son. We're bringing clarity now. You're talking about a man with a soul. You're talking about the one that was made Lord. When we are speaking about the invisible Jesus, we are talking about the one that was not born. We talk about the one that condescended or lowered himself. God is not born. Because if you're born, you must have a soul. And if you have a soul, you must be placed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we're speaking about the visible Jesus, we are learning that he inherits that name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He inherits the Father's name. And when we are speaking about the visible Jesus, we are speaking about the one that's anointed with the fullness of the Logos, where God comes and dwells in him. Amen. So there is a Lord, which is the I Am, and there is a Lord, which is made Lord. Right? There is a Lord that is made Lord. Now you might say, but why was he made Lord? You know, there are five reasons. The five reasons: he was the firstborn, he was the overcomer, king of the Jews, the high priest, the head of the church, the husband. Five reasons. Okay? So when we're speaking about the invisible Jesus, or the invisible Christ, we're speaking about God. We're speaking about Elohim. We're speaking about the Anointer. We're speaking about the Eternal Logos. We're referring to the Angel of the Covenant, the Holy Spirit. We're speaking about the Source. We speak of the capital Zoe. Completely different. I hope it's coming clear to you. Okay? So, when he's speaking about the Son of God, is Christ the Son? So you can have Christ the Son or Christ the God, or Christ as God. But this Christ who is God is not the same Christ who is the Son. Are we okay? So you can have Christ, the Anointed One. So he is the Anointed One. But the Father is what? He is the Anointer. So you have the Anointer and the Anointed One. You have the son having Zoe up at one part, but later on you find he has the fullness of God. This is the father. So he's a man that's anointed. He's a man that has at the River Jordan, and he's the one that is incarnated with the fullness. Remember, before in the fatherhood dispensation, he never incarnated anybody. It's only when God is with us. It's only under the Son of God dispensation, Son of Man dispensation, does the Father come and anoint. Remember, as Son of Man, Alpha is where God comes down in the form of a prophet called Jesus. But Son of Man, Omega, don't let this confuse you now. God is with us not by incarnation, but God is with us by a prophet when the ministry of Jesus Christ is reproduced. Big difference. God incarnates his son, Jesus. He does not incarnate Brother Branham. But the angel anoints Brother Branham to reproduce the ministry. Some of you are looking at me with glared eyes. Go back to the recordings, please. So the anointing leaves this body at Jordan. You know the quotes already. We don't have the time for that. But God is not yet finished with the body. He's not yet finished with the body. I've got to rush because I need to come to some things that we haven't done before. I'm sure this is all revision, eh? Okay, let's do a comparison. Can you see it? Can you see that? Okay. If I can't see, then you can't see. Can you see that? I made my slides a bit small, okay? So you can go home and you can compare the slides, okay, of the Father and the Son. One is inherits the name. The other one does not, that's his name. So one is the Son and one is the Father. One is the visible Jesus and one is the invisible Jesus. You can go home and you can study those slides, okay? And I told you why Jesus, the Son, was made Christ or made Lord because of the five reasons. He was the firstborn, King of the Jews, head of the church, high priest. He was the overcomer. All right, but when God was with us, this was the beginning of the creation of God. This was the beginning of the creation of God, which means it's a beginning of a new species, a God race, a God man. And this is where the fourth gospel, fourth seal, and the seventh seal are light years apart. Because under the fourth seal, they were preaching that Jesus, the Son, is God. Under the seventh seal, we are saying, no, he was a God-man. He's a new species. He's the beginning of the creation of God. This is where now God becomes the Father. He was not the Father there. He was in the fatherhood, walking in the pillar of fire. Now he started a new race. He started a new creation. The Adam race had to be done away with because of sin. So he brings forth a son. Okay, he brings forth his son. And so, very tricky now. This blood cell becomes the body of God. And so, this father has to teach his son how to be a son. Okay? So you say, how does he do that? All the behavioral patterns of what a son should be like, he teaches his son via visions. He does not become the son. He teaches him via visions what a son is like. How to act as a son. How to become obedient. How to become willing. How to live for others. Okay? So now, he's now under the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The sonship. The sonship, okay? This is the beginning of the creation of God. And remember that this has got nothing to do with the Son of God. The Father is teaching the Son so that he can become a reflector of the Father. And this creation is going to become a further enlightenment about who God is and who the Son of God is. So this beginning of the creation of God becomes the firstborn. Remember that the firstborn is the Son of God. God was not born. Okay? God was not born. So, under the sonship dispensation, God is with us biologically. It was the beginning of the creation. It was the beginning of a new species, a beginning of a new creation. And God is the first of a new creation. So, you say, but I don't understand you. Remember that body that was created was not the Son's body. It was God's body. But when God looked at that body, he said, that's my body. I made that body. That body is going to reflect me. Like for example, your present natural body is actually a house for your real you. All right? So when you leave this earth, your mortal remains will go to the ground wherever you are buried. Remember that when you die, wherever you are buried, if you die in Israel, you will arise in Israel. You will not arise in Durban. The body will come up from there. Right? If you were in the sea, it'll come up from there. And so forth. And so we find that when you leave this earth, it's just your mortal body, but the real you is gone. So the real Jesus only comes to live in that body from Jordan to Gethsemane. But when you look at that body, it's a brand new creation which carries the DNA of God. So that's a new creation of God, but not God was not created, but that stands for the creation of God. So Jesus, the Son, is the firstborn of this new creation. Are we together? All right, so I just want to close this note and I want to, oh my goodness, I've got half an hour. I want to track the visible Jesus and the invisible Jesus quickly. Wait a second, I just need to open my notes. Okay. If I make it any bigger, I can't read it. So we're going to track this visible Jesus and invisible. I'm not going to read all the quotes. I'm going to hit the highlights because of time. All right? So that we're going to track the visible and the invisible and where the church world is getting mixed up. So he was a God-man. He looked like God. He talked like God. He preached like God. He rose like God. He ascended like God. And God was in him. He was God's Son. All right? This is the visible Jesus. We are tracking the visible and the invisible Jesus. When does the invisible Jesus come to play in our day? Jesus was on earth. He said that he was that God. Before Abraham was I am, was a pillar of fire. All right? Then he says, I come from God and I go to God. He says, and when he was crucified, died and rose again and ascended on high and laid his body down. And he returned again in a form of a great pillar of fire. The question I ask, whose body was that? We know whose body was that. Who returned? So the prophet of God is preaching it in such a way. Jesus on earth, he said he was that God. Who's this Jesus here? This is the Father that met Abraham. This was not the Son. I come from God and I go to God. This was not the Son again. This was I come from pillar of fire, I go back to pillar of fire. I come from light, I go to light. That's the Father. And when he died and rose again and ascended on earth, laid his body. Whose body was this? This was now the Son of God, right? That whose body is now on the mercy seat without the Father's presence. We'll track that down just now. And he returned again in the form of a great pillar of fire on the day of Pentecost. Who was that returning? This was not Jesus, the Son. This was God returning on the day of Pentecost. All right. We spoke about Paul. The invisible Jesus was identified himself to Paul. This was the Father. Okay. And now we are seeing that the Shekinah glory in the days of Brother Branham, right, was actually the invisible God. All right. So in John chapter 20 verse 28, we read about Jesus meeting the disciples. This is after the death burial. And he speaks to Thomas and he says, reach hither and touch my body. All right. And he says, my Lord and my God. Now, who was this? This was the Father coming down in an incarnated body. This was the Father coming down in the body that was now glorified. Oh, my word. Does it update? Give me a second. Okay, so we're just tracking the visible. So this is the corporal return. This is a corporal body coming down, in a God coming down in a glorified body, asking Thomas to touch the body. All right? And that's why you could say, my Lord and my God. Are you with me? In John chapter, you say, but here he asked Thomas to touch him. Here he tells the woman, don't touch me. I go to my Father. So in this chapter, the invisible Jesus is not there. Because he left him at Gethsemane. And the prophet of God says, after this, he goes to the Father, goes and presents himself to Jehovah God at the mercy seat, and comes back in that body again. Alright, so here's the prophet explaining. He says, I can't, it's a little bit difficult to understand when Jesus said, touch me not. And then he speaks to Thomas. He says, well, he wasn't to be touched until after the resurrection. He had to come on earth. He come out from the earth and walk here amongst them. He says, but I have to send to my God and to your God and to your Father. He says, after he had done, went up before God and rose from the dead, went up before God, coming back, he invited Thomas to touch him. He had ascended up before God, so he had to present himself to the invisible Jesus. And so the visible Jesus and the invisible Jesus comes down again. All right? Israel and the church, you see, and his soul was his spirit that descended to earth, and he arose down, God picked up the body and gave him life, and took the body of Jesus and set it at the right hand. So, now, when you are looking at these quotes, okay, when you're looking at these quotes, we are tracking now from the day of the resurrection. We see that the visible Jesus leaves the earth without the Father. And now, after he presents himself before the mercy seat, he comes down with the Father's in that body. And that's why Thomas could touch him and say, my Lord and my God. All right? All right. Now, after that takes place, after this takes place, On the day of ascension, on the day of ascension, he goes up to the Father's throne, and he's seated there, and now he's the incarnate God, right? And you read Acts chapter 1 verse 19, the Bible says, and a cloud received him, and whilst they steadfastly looked towards heaven, as behold two men, he says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall also come in like manner. So that means a cloud received him, he'll come back with a cloud. But watch it here now. You got to be careful. Remember I said to you, now it's the incarnate God in this body who's going up. It's a layered scripture that the oneness can say, but that's Jesus the Son that's coming down. No, you'll see just now. All right, so we thank thee for being a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, who thou hast raised from the dead and seen for 40 days and nights and ascended up to heavens. And with him went many of the saints to be with him in glory, and some glorious day will return again, bringing with him the redeemed of all the ages. Now, when you look at this here, this is not about the visible Jesus. The visible Jesus, now when he ascends up, okay, the Father, now listen to me carefully, on the day of Pentecost, the Son does not come down. The Son does not come down. The visible Jesus does not come down. Because when the Jesus that we visibly see will be the second coming, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe he ascended to God the Father, seated in glory tonight at the right hand of the majesty of the Father, making intercession upon our profession. So on the day of Pentecost, when the cloven tongues of fire took place, it was the pillar of fire, God himself coming down. Not the Son of God, not the visible Jesus. This is the invisible Jesus. We are tracking the visible and invisible Jesus. You say, but where's the Son of God? He's seated on the throne. He can't leave that throne. He can't leave that throne. All right. In the message, and the eyes were opened. He says, now, friend, if Jesus, the Christ, the living Son of God, after 1900 years, if the Bible is true, he said, I am alive forevermore. He's just as alive here in this building tonight as he was the day of his resurrection. He's just in a body. So now, when the prophet of God is talking here, this is very compound. He's not speaking about the man that's in the building. This is the invisible Jesus. This is the Father that is coming down. Okay? So you say, but where is it? He says, what is he? He is that great living Jehovah God that's in our midst tonight. So, the visible Jesus, after the day of ascension, has to be seated on the mercy seat making intercession. The one that Paul sees on the road to Damascus is the invisible Jesus. It's not the visible Jesus. And the one that comes on the days of Brother Branham is Jehovah God. Matthew 26:64, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man coming, seated on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. This Son of Man is not the visible Son of Man, visible Jesus. This is God coming down in power, cloud, and glory. First pull, second pull, third pull. Okay? This is God in the form of a prophet. Because Acts chapter 7 verse 55 tells us that Jesus is standing on the right hand of the Father. So Jesus the Son is seated on the Father's throne. Until when? He will be seated on the Father's throne until he hand back the throne to the Father in the book of Corinthians. And then he will sit down in his own throne. The visible Jesus will be in his own throne, and the Father will be on his own throne. Matthew 24:30, And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now remember, this is a layered scripture, okay? Because and then they shall see the Son of Man in heaven. Have you seen this colon here? And they shall all the tribes that mourn, this is not our time. And they shall see the Son of Man come in cloud, power and great glory. That's our day, Luke 17:30. So you can read the scripture in such a way and make it one event. Because that's Luke 17:30. Alright? In Acts chapter 9 verse 30, this is Paul meeting the invisible Jesus. Did he ever appear after he ascended to his Father? Yes. What to do, St. Paul? Okay, a light blinded Paul. He says that same Jesus photographed on the paper. Which Jesus was photographed on the paper? He's talking about, he says, did he ever appear after he ascended to the Father? Yes. Who too? St. Paul. Now when you read this quote, don't think the man. Because the man didn't appear to Paul. What did he look like? A pillar of fire. You see, you can take this quote. That is why when you're searching messages and people sometimes when they send me, oh, Brother Louis, here's the quote. But that's only half of it. And that's where most of the ministries stop. What did he look like? A pillar of fire. This is not the Son. A light blinded Paul. Yeah, it is. That's the same exactly Jesus photographed and on paper. Who was photographed? That was the one that was on the head of Brother Branham. He appears again. It'll be light in the evening time. It'll be light and that won't be night, day and night. Alright? Can you remember that picture? If you do say amen, the angel of the Lord, that light that appeared on the river. This is the invisible Jesus. What is it? Jesus Christ. The light. Don't think the Son. Think Father. Think Jehovah. Think God. He says, that light isn't 2 feet from where I'm standing. That's right. What is it? Jesus Christ. And so, when people listen to this on the tape, this is Jesus thinking about the one that's got a soul. And they're thinking, and there's a gospel that's going around that the man Jesus who's got a soul has now turned back to light. It's an error. But you see, they've got to accommodate the errors by looking at a quote in a different way, because it's going to be very hard for people to go and tell somebody there is a visible Jesus and an invisible Jesus. Okay, anyone knows that it was Jesus Christ who led the children of Israel. Now, did Jesus, the Son, lead the children of Israel? He said, I come from God, I come from light, I go to light. And whilst he was on earth, he was a man. He turned and went to God. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to Cleopas. Who appeared to Cleopas? The Father. In the body. But after he ascended to God the Father, he turned back to light. And this is a quote people use. He turned back to light. And Paul on the road to Damascus seen him. And then he was a great light that struck him. Now, when you read this quote here, this is not about Jesus the Son who is visible. This is the invisible Jesus. Do you understand how this prophet can throw you off and make you think that you're on the right road? I came from God. Yes, it's here. I came from God. The pillar of fire that led the children. I came into the world. The Son of God called the flesh. He's explaining now. Or the Son, the flesh called the Son. I returned to God, back to light again. When that quote, scripture, I come from God and go back to God. I come from pillar of fire and I go back to pillar of fire. Okay, so when we see Jesus, say Jesus did not point to himself, or he did not make himself known to them, because you cannot know Jesus in that way. Jesus isn't known in that way. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Father. We see in the scriptures when the Greeks was brought upon to Jesus and was in his presence, it looked like that Jesus would have said. So when you go and read that quote, even in the unveiling of God itself, we see Jesus. This is not about the Son that was born. They came to see the one that is behind the miracles. And the prophet says, you could not see him. He said, but why can't you see him? Because he's invisible. There's an invisible Jesus. A few more quotes and I'm closing. And when he died, rose and ascended, went back, the Holy Spirit, that was the Son of God. See how you can get caught in the sermon here? Yeah, he says the Holy Ghost, that was the Son of God. This is dispensation. God is the Spirit, and through the church ages, it has been the Son of God. Through the church ages, it's a dispensation or an office called the Son of God. Not Jesus the man. Okay, most of these quotes, you know about it because So in Revelation 10:1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud. Now that is the mighty angel is none other than the invisible Jesus, which is God himself, coming down in the form of an angel. Now where is the visible Jesus? On the mercy seat. We're tracking the visible and the invisible Jesus, okay? In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Who is this? This is the invisible Jesus. This is God himself. You say, but where is he now? He hasn't left the earth. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is that one that is knocking? This is not the visible Jesus. This is the invisible Jesus coming to us in our day in the form of Son of Man. All right? Galatians 4:14, he says, and my temptation which was in the flesh, he despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So even Paul, notice it is Christ Jesus. Why? Christ means the anointed one. So Paul also was teaching them as Christ Jesus. So where is the visible Jesus? The mercy seat. Where's the invisible Jesus? It's the Father who comes down with the book that is open and he never leaves the earth. Okay, God bless you. God undertake for you in a special way. And I trust that this series will help you. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Lord, that you could unveil yourself to us. We pray that you bless the bride of Jesus Christ, wherever she goes. We ask you, Lord, that you'd watch over her. You keep her. And Lord, you bring her back safe now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Brother Terrence.